I call the meeting to order, City of University Heights, Iowa City Council meeting. Today is June 11, 2024. Thanks everyone for attending tonight. Roll call is four council are present in the room and one, Stephanie Gahn, is on Zoom. Approval of minutes. Are there any objections to approving the minutes of May 14th or May 28th? Hearing none, the minutes are approved by unanimous consent. We'll go to, before we go there, is Dwayne Lane in yet?
He has not joined the meeting yet.
I have someone from Johnson County Refuse, LRS, coming as a guest tonight. So we'll go on to public input. Any members of the public want to speak to the council tonight? Pat, did you or okay? Are you Isabel? No, okay. Thank you very much. We'll go on to the mayor's report. First is consideration of resolution number 2431, confirming University Heights staff salaries for fiscal year 24 and fiscal year 25. And that's in a resolution prepared by Steve and John Brown prepared the salaries. And every year we must post them, put them in the minutes according to the city audit, John Olson, and you were going to put them up there. And so this is a few corrections from what was sent around. The four part-time police, they're $27.75 an hour, so they're 3.25%. They'll be $28.65. So those are the four corrections from what was sent out to you. And so resolution 1431 is before the council. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by
Nick.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Lisa. Discussion. Roll call vote.
Don?
Aye.
Herbold?
Aye.
Moore?
Aye.
Schroeder?
Aye.
Swales?
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. We'll go on to legal report. And Steve submitted a legal report. And the first thing is presentation of courtyard by Marriott hotel owners regarding proposed changes to parking them. And I know, Steve, you met with them, so I just put it under this agenda item, but we'll have, don't you think we all have them start?
Yes.
Okay, so Greg or Jim or Michelle or Kelly? Thank you.
Feel free to move that, Greg.
So last year we wanted to try to create smart parking. Since we've opened, we struggled with parking with all the events we have over at the hotel. So last year we came to you guys and wanted to turn that one grass lot into the parking. And then I think that you guys convinced me that that was a good place to have like the entrance to Iowa City, which I identified with that. I thought that was a great idea. So I went back to the drawing board and tried to figure out ways for us to create more parking. And on the west side of our property, we have a wall. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to push the wall back 7 feet so I can turn the cars 90 degrees and pull in straight versus parallel parked. And I went to MMS and had them draw up a plan. I don't know if Mike, do you have that plan? I can email it to you.
Okay.
So I recently emailed it to all the city council members so they could look at it prior to the meeting here. I forgot to send it to you. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Anyway, every week in the meeting, our staff meeting, we struggle with parking. It's constant conversation with our events and our event staff. And I was going to let Kelly talk about that a little bit. And then I'll come back up and talk a little bit more about the construction. That's okay.
Hello everyone, I'm Kelly Murphy, I'm the Director of Sales from the Courtyard, and I just want to give a little bit of context in terms of how it relates to revenue and who all that impacts. So excuse me, since opening, we have our largest struggle is business and conferences Monday through Friday. We evenings and weekends aren't as big an issue outside of football weekends, of course, because the University of Iowa does allow us to use Kinnick Stadium as an overflow parking lot. So almost every weekend we do that when we've got an event, which is nearly every weekend, weddings for the most part on Saturdays. We still struggle with that because people have to walk back and forth. Of course, we do provide shuttle service when we know that we're going to have a larger wedding and they need to park over at Kinnick Stadium. We always reserve parking spots for our hotel guests, or, you know, our bread and butter. So that's number one. So we've got to make sure we have at least one parking spot per hotel room that's rented. Again, on weekends, that's almost always 140 rooms. So deciphering through hotel room guests versus event guests takes a lot of resources and time and energy from our staff. We have to pay parking attendants that we now employ just to manage our parking lots on Saturdays. But the good news is that's becoming more and more often because the hotel is becoming busier and busier. So the most challenging part when we've had to turn away business, it is Monday through Friday when we've got conferences, we've got corporate events where they want to bring in 250, you know, 250 to sometimes 300 people for a meeting or a conference. They're, you know, corporate people or people that are coming in individually, and they each have their own car. That's what causes the problem. So I've turned away to date. I've turned away at least six events during the week because we aren't able to accommodate their parking. We don't have an overflow parking option during the day, Monday through Friday, when Kinnick isn't an option to us. We've tried several things. We've done several things to try to accommodate those events, trying to find remote parking where, again, we'll shuttle them back and forth. Of course, you can always, you know, try to recommend that they carpool. We've had several events that we have had where they've had to, the companies had to use their own parking lot locally for their local attendees, but people that are coming in from across the region, across the state with their company, they know that they're going to have a car there with us. So the numbers are basically each of those events just on the hotel room side. This is not an event. This has nothing to do with the event and the catering side, but just from the hotel room side, because that's what impacts the revenue that you bring in on the hotel motel tax. You're anywhere, those are anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000 per event that we've turned away. You know, how that translates, you can do the math on the 7% of that, but that's a sizable amount of business. I don't foresee that we are going to be able to, if we don't make any changes, we are not going to be able to capitalize on that business. And if any of you aren't familiar, not only does that impact the business that we've had to turn away because we can't facilitate their parking, we can do everything else. It's the parking. That's the one factor that makes us have to say, no, we can't do it unless you can make your own arrangements for your own parking somewhere else and then come to the hotel. Say something else. Oh, so when the hotel's busy on events like that, the hotel's busy, that also impacts your ADR. So your average daily rate. So when we have business like that, any of the remaining rooms are, you know, automatically or automatic systems on a reservation that then increases the room rate, which also impacts, you know, the hotel motel tax too. So I just wanted to, like I said, share a little bit of insight on the dollar amounts that we're turning away, that we will have to continue to turn away if we can't have, and if we don't have any other options with parking because we are so limited. Thank you.
Thank you. I wanted to talk a little bit about the construction. I looked at, you know, different options of when I moved the wall. You moved the wall backward, and it probably a good chance we're going to run into a gas line. The gas line only services the so about halfway up on the first three houses, halfway up that wall. And then, so we've moved that gas line before, and I think it won't be an issue since we know what to do. We can move it again. And then the trees behind the wall there, there's the pines. If any of those end up dying, then I will I would love to plant the trees that I had. I just planted over on the front. I don't know if you guys seen all the trees that I planted up front, those maples. And then there's a mature maple right beside of the smaller ones that I planted. They're what those trees will look like when they grow up. So I'm really excited about that. And if any of those pine trees, you know, end up dying, we'll cut them down and plant new trees. So as far as any other issues, the car's pulling in. I don't think it'll be an issue because the wall's already 6 foot tall. It goes down to, you know, nothing but the headlights, so the cars won't be any different than they are now. So it's just that 20-foot buffer will just crease down to about 13 feet. So we're taking 7 foot of that. I'm trying to think of anything else on the construction side, but if he has any questions, I'm more than happy to ask. More happy to let you know. Oh, I guess, Steve, I guess with you, just let us know how to proceed.
Steve, you were going to go through the process with council?
Yeah, it's a pretty simple process in terms of what's before the council based upon the amendments that the council made last year to the zoning ordinance and to the PUD development agreement. The zoning ordinance was amended to indicate that there'd be a minimum number of parking spaces, 196, as opposed to a maximum number. And the ordinance is further amended to say that the particular layout or design of the plan of the parking plan would be need to be approved by resolution of the city council. So in terms of configuring existing parking area, by which I mean, you know, kind of pavement, that takes just a resolution by the council. One, you know, put it on an agenda, adopt the resolution. With respect to changing the PUD development agreement, which would include that wall that Greg referenced on the west, and I don't know if it gets into landscaping in terms of, trees that I guess it's presently a sidewalk, so I don't think we're taking down any trees, but I'm not sure on that. Anyway, any changes to the PUD development agreement or plans that are part of that, like landscaping or utility plans and so forth, that would take just, again, a resolution of the council, one consideration, notice ahead of time, and that would be the process. As I said last year, if the council desired, the council could refer the requested changes to the zoning commission. That's always a council prerogative. If the council thinks there needs to be consideration, public input in that fashion. But it's not required. The council is not required to do that. So, short version, to do the things that the hotel is asking would just require adoption of one, or we'll probably just make one, but a resolution at one meeting, and that's all you need. Now, there is a little more to it than that. There's some plan review that Ryan can speak to a lot better than me. So I don't mean to say that we'd be ready to do it in 3 days or something, but it doesn't take a public hearing. It doesn't take three readings of a zoning ordinance or anything like that.
So then the plan review would go to Ryan with engineering and with the city
Terry
building
mm-hmm. yeah.
inspector.
Yeah, right. And the hotel developers did submit a building permit application to Terry. I didn't mention that. And Terry and I talked about it. And I said, and Terry agreed, that, you know, right now the regulations, the PUD development agreement doesn't permit what was proposed in the building permit application. So we both said, hey, you need to get the council to adopt some changes to the development agreement, and then the building permit can be acted upon. So
the resolution comes before the design plan.
Yeah.
review. Okay.
Well, the resolution comes before the building permit.
Okay, building
permit. Which would not be a council. Terry right. Can take care of that. So, all I'm saying is that the resolution would come after the design plan review. So the process would be that the developers would submit their proposed parking lot layout and any utility drawings or modifications to Ryan for his review. And then at that point, once he's reviewed it, I can prepare a resolution that would adopt the changes if that's what the council wants, and then the council would have to adopt them.
Okay. Any discussion by council?
Is the 7 foot based on a 24-foot drive aisle and a 7 foot sidewalk going back, or can it be reduced?
So I looked at it briefly, what Greg sent me, but I didn't do a real in-depth review. The 7 foot provides, to move the retaining wall 7 feet, does provide a 24-foot wide drive aisle, 18-foot parking stalls, 90-degree perpendicular stalls, and then it provides a 5 foot sidewalk instead of 7. So that was one thing that we would probably ask that they change and make that a 7 foot sidewalk. The SUDAS design standards allow for a 2 foot overhang of the vehicle. And then you can reduce, kind of at the engineer's discretion, you could reduce the length of a parking stall.
So you'd be back to 7 foot.
So I think we would prefer to have that 7 foot so that the vehicles aren't pulling forward and restricting the width of the sidewalk for the pedestrians.
Moving the wall 7 foot.
So the 7 foot is probably the minimum that they need to move it, I would say, to meet those standards. So
are the existing parallel stalls just 9 foot, or are they 10 foot?
I think they're 9 foot wide.
Seem wider. So I don't know if there's any space to be gained to reduce how much the wall would have to move in the proposal, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think the next step, if you were to look at reducing that distance or the width, it would probably be, so not only would you reduce what the length is of the parking stall required, if you're accounting for that 2 foot overhang of the vehicle to the sidewalk, the next thing would be the drive aisle, and 24 foot is our standard. I know there was a lot of discussion last summer about that, and bringing up other cities' requirements and things. So to say that 24 foot's absolutely what's needed just to drive two cars past each other is probably a little much, but I mean, even in a roadway, we would never go below 10 foot during temporary lane construction for width. So, 24 foot is pretty standard for a 12 foot lane. So,
seems like Iowa City's is 22 feet, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Can I send that to you, Dan? Can you put it in?
I sent it to Mike.
So, if the goal is to minimize the wall shift, then if council was okay with those lowered dimensions, I guess, on the drive aisle or the parking stalls, that would be what would have to happen.
I was just remembering the discussion last year when we, on game days, when they do use that as perpendicular parking, and I think Troy that went through and said there was plenty of room for the drive aisle to pass through safely. I'm not suggesting make it that narrow, but
I can't speak to that. I guess I haven't driven down there during game day or measured, so I don't. I know that there was discussion last summer about that and about fire access and things like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
This is the amended site plan right here. you can find up hills, right?
Yeah. No, it's on the there's a transformer down on the south end of that wall too, right?
Yeah, I'll have to kind of make it like an island there.
Isn't this the west side?
Nope, that's
the
east.
I'm not sure
he has
that.
Oh. I'm sorry. Yeah. There. Here we go. Over here. Sorry. We'll reduce that again so you can see the wall right here.
West.
This one.
Yeah, so like Tim was saying, the sidewalk before was 7 feet, and that's designed that way. And the sidewalks around the other parking areas where those stalls right in front of them are designed for a vehicle to pull over that sidewalk a ways and still have that minimum 5 foot width available for pedestrian access. And so that's why we apply request that the sidewalk stay 7 and we reduce the stall length under this configuration and probably build that curb a little lower so that it doesn't impact aerodynamic vehicles from pulling forward to still pulling the stalls fully. So, but I haven't provided comments like that yet. I mean, to the hotel, so.
So the resolution would go on like the next, if council would wish, mm-hmm. would go on the July 9th agenda.
I think so, as long as that gives Ryan enough time. What I need to do is, it can be easily done by July 9th. Okay, but I can't speak for Ryan in terms of the plans that he still needs to receive or if he has everything and review them. Ryan?
I think what we still need to receive is, so the only sheet I've got is this one so far, I think. So we would need to know probably a general demo sheet and landscape adjustments. So I guess that's what the landscape adjustments is probably an important one to know if there's anything being removed or being changed and what's being added, just so we have a full picture of that scope, I guess. You know, the parking stalls on the 90 degrees, they are showing that there's islands in that area, which are not there today. So, I mean, there's probably potential for landscaping in those areas or at least green space there. So, I mean, there's more details that aren't shown in just this one sheet that we'd probably want to have information on. So, but I don't have that those sheets here.
Those islands are typically provided for trees, right?
Yeah.
Could you get that material to Ryan? And
yeah, I've already got my engineer working on it. I told him that right away after Ryan replied to me about it. And I told him I need a demolition plan and a landscaping plan prepared.
Yeah, and probably some sort of utility sheet for that gas change and things like that, right, okay. Greg? Whatever kind of needs to be adjusted should be captured on something, some sort of sheet.
So I have a question about, I got these two sheets and I had to compare them myself to see what the changes were. And I see some change there in the south corner, the southwest corner on the bottom that I'm not sure I even understand what that accomplishes.
The southwest corner.
You want me to answer that?
Yeah.
So currently, Lisa, these here and here, the parking stalls are parallel to the wall there and parallel to the curb here. So this is the new plan where it just turns these parking stalls 90 degrees. And now the perpendicular to the wall there, and then these stalls here are perpendicular now, and we just turn those parallel on that spot. So basically, here we're flip flopping, and here we're taking them from parallel to perpendicular.
Yeah. So that part on the north there, that's what, three parking places, parallel parking places?
Yeah, they're parallel right now.
Oh, no, over.
Yeah.
Over here.
Up there. Yeah, right there. That's three parking places.
That's three parking places. Yeah. Right now, as it sits the way it is right now, they're parallel right in here. They look like this right here.
Right.
So Lisa, I think in that area, Greg, do you know what your net gain is just in that little corner? I think it's a gain of four stalls or something.
I don't know. Yeah.
Do you know what the overall gain is total, on the site?
Yeah, I think the total I'm gaining 25.
25.
But I didn't do that calculation, but I think
I counted them. I just don't recall what the number is. There is a gain by that configuration change to their total gain.
That answer your question, Lisa, kind of?
It did.
Okay. Steph or Doug, or do you have any questions?
No. No, it looks like a good plan so far.
I think I might have a slight question. So the buffer requirements were in the PUD. Is that gone then? The landscape and the buffer width, was there a requirement to the actual width or not?
I'll have to look at it with you.
Okay. Right.
If it was, it was in, I mean, this isn't what you asked. It doesn't take an ordinance change.
Okay.
But that's not.
That's, I guess, that does come.
Yeah.
Do you have any more questions for the developers or their staff?
I guess I'm wondering, do you know where we're at? Was there were a number of trees, I think, that didn't get planted that were supposed to get planted. Is that what the tree board said the other day? Steve, do you know?
Well, I talked a little bit to Jim about tree planting back there. Could you speak to that? Could you stand up here and speak to it? Because they did have a question, and I was asking you about, because you kind of do the trees.
Just recently, we planted eight more. Most of them up there in the front, that little park area up in the front. And then we're planning on doing a few more as soon as, depending on what we do here. If we can shift that wall back 8 feet, I'd like to change to columnar maples there, which is what we have on the railroad track side, because we just haven't had any left with pines up there. I mean, I planted eight back there, half of them are dead, and they just don't seem to, I don't know why, whether it's, but the maples, there's native maples there that are growing like crazy. So we're going to switch that back to maples, I think. But other than that, if you want trees planted somewhere, let me know. I guess I've got to deal with Maple Valley Orchards down there in Kelowna. And
it was kind of more talking about what was the tree count that have you
met? Oh, the original tree count?
The actual tree count.
Well, I'd probably have to go back to Laura Hawks, to see what that was. But I mean, when we took out the 20 or 30 trees that were there, I mean, they were all different sizes. So there's only there was one really big one that was right where the house was. And then the rest of them, I think it's on MMS's plan, what the existing was. And whatever deal we made, if you guys want trees planted somewhere, just let me know. I'll plant 20, 30, 40, whatever you want.
Like anywhere?
Not my yard?
They'll be.
I mean,
well, we're set up to do it. So, I mean, it doesn't take long.
Oh, yeah. You have that big tree planter.
Yeah, we have a tree spade.
That spade, that's spade, what it's called.
And an auger. And
yeah.
So, but like I say, so.
We can move a tree for you.
Wow, that's
right. And then, you did the parking underneath. Is that being used for parking now, or is that?
Well, it's. I'll let Kelly or those guys address that. It has never really worked out very well for the guests, just because of the logistics of, you got to give people cards, and then we had somebody hit the garage door at the top. And so we have, with all the events and things, we've got about half of it is just storage needed for tables, chairs, and all kinds of other stuff that we have. So that's.
So how many parking spots do you have that you can use down there?
Well, there's probably, I don't know, is there 10 or 15 maybe?
Yeah,
I mean, that's.
I see.
I don't even.
15.
Yeah.
15.
That's our staff parking now. It originally was going to be available for guest use, but.
And so you have employees use those?
That's what our staff. Especially the days that we know the parking lot's going to be full, which is often. That's where we ask our staff to. And down there, we're creative and we can block people in that we know we're going to be there until late at night and things of that sort. So we can better utilize the space down there.
To the extent the trees above that were supposed to be a buffer, I mean, I don't remember if there were discussions about fence that might be a better buffer or if anything
was trying. I mean, you can, I guess, ask the neighbor, if we actually have been tearing down, or it's kind of a loose woven wire fence that was up there, and I helped Bobby clean that out and get rid of it. And then that's when we saw all these little maples that were coming up kind of native. The pine trees that are there are not in very good shape. And the arborist that I talked to said, you can start trimming the branches off low. And he said, you're going to have some growth at the top. But he said, those things are going to go pretty soon. That's why I just as soon get them out now and plant the maples back, something that's going to actually stay. The whole thing about the parking in that area, to me, I mean, I'm just looking at the overall building plan and the green spaces that we have around the hotel. That is the least intrusive. I mean, just shoving that wall back, it's going to look exactly the same as it does right now for us from the hotel perspective. And we're going to have 15 foot of green space, which I can, plant pretty much anything I want in that space. But
I just know some of the, I think even the people like a street over or whatever were concerned about some of the light, from the hotel.
Right. Well, we talked about that and we took our lumen counter over there and it just doesn't even show up.
Well, I just mean if a fence, it's, if we're trying to preserve low branches and all this stuff, fence would just be.
Realize now that our wall.
I know you're under already.
Well, our wall is about 5 foot tall.
Yeah.
So in other words, headlights, I mean, that's the nice thing about parking straight in like that. The headlights are, you don't even see them because they're right into the wall. So they can't go across into anybody else's property. So that's the other thing about keeping all this parking back in that corner is it's just kind of out away from where it's going to affect anybody. So
I'd like to walk it down there with you because I think, I think that to the extent we thought those trees served a purpose, I know I get that I'm hearing they're not serving a purpose.
Well,
just the question would be whether there's a more solid boundary.
And if we want to put up a fence, depending on, whether you want a solid fence or, I'd have to talk to Bobby Scott, I guess, who owns the property next door now and see what he wants to do. But I got no problem with doing something like that, too. But it's not going to gain us anything. I mean, it'll gain us another 5 or 6 foot of visual barrier and probably that'll be immediate compared to planting bushes or trees, so. But if that's.
Or if the trees grow, up and you have the trunk that doesn't provide, buffer,
The
fence might come to
the logs right now. The road is 60, 70 feet here. Right. There's nobody any good. And
Those
trees look pretty sick.
There are two of them now that definitely have to come down because they're dead and we're kind of worried about them falling on the neighbor's property or our property. So, and the other ones, if they're still salvageable, I'll keep them around as long as we can. But the growth down low is gone pretty much. Yes. All
through. They're just standing long
that
now.
Type of spruce. Yeah. So, I mean, any suggestions, that you have, we're definitely open to anything. So, and if the neighbors have any concerns about, if that would help, to put another 6 foot. I mean, we're already down 5 foot with all of our lights and everything from cars. Now, granted, they're going to see the building lights, the lights from the rooms and things like that. I mean, that's no different than any other building they look at. But
thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Well, and I we took your plan, Jim's plan from the front, and that's how I laid out all the trees out in that little front. So pretty much we should still be able to park similar to what we had before, and hopefully those trees will grow up quick. Although I'm getting some feedback from, we're not being able to see the sign anymore. So.
Well, yeah, if you look at my drawing, I had them at the back.
I know you. I tweaked a little bit. So. All right, then.
Does council want to move forward with putting the resolution on the July 9th? It's July 9th.
I guess I would like to have some time to
walk around
and talk about, yeah, I guess some details of it. Before, I don't know. I mean, this is something where I don't know if I assume that there's some residents will have some interest, and I feel like kind of the feedback we've heard is that we tend to surprise people with things and they don't know about it until the meeting. And then it's, you know, everyone's concern, I think, is even heightened more than it usually would. So I don't know. I don't know if I'll be ready at the next meeting, but I would like to.
Right. At least but we could put it on the agenda and see where we're at then. And we could defer it. Council could defer it, discuss, see where we're at. And so be sure and contact Jim and Greg and about any questions and look over the spot close. And then you're getting the plan with what you need. And okay. So do you have something to add, Steve?
Yeah, I do.
I'm sure you do. Sorry.
That's good. I think the council needs to either now provide a little direction or at least be prepared so that everyone's kind of on the same page. In the past, like at the very beginning with the hotel development, the hotel developers agreed to pay for all the city's staff, time, and expense involved in reviewing these things, preparing stuff, and so forth. And that was true throughout the development process with amendments and so forth. That became an issue last year, and the council made a decision to ask the hotel developers to pay half of the city staff expenses, professional fees. Brian and me is what we're talking about, and I think that would be the same again this year. I don't know who else would be associated with this review. And so again, I guess my point would be to at least have that in mind, preferably before we dig into things, so that the council leader knows that the council's paying for that, which is not budgeted for, as far as I know, except for the normal staff budgets, or plan to ask the hotel developers for reimbursement in whole or in part. So
can we ask that? I mean, are you guys understanding that the cost associated with this will be something that we passed along to you, the legal fees and engineering fees?
Council, wants us to do that, then we have to do it. But I feel like the hotels, give the city a lot of money. No other jurisdiction that I know of does this. I don't know of another jurisdiction that charges developers this fee. I would say here at Liberty, Tiffany, England, Portugal, and on top of that, I feel like we, as a hotel group, we put a lot of money into the city, the hotel tax and property tax. And I would ask the council to, give us that break since we,
Part of the problem is we haven't budgeted for it, and we also had stoplight or speeding cameras that we thought were going to provide revenue. That are not going to provide revenue. And so we've also are putting it to the voters to, increase the sales tax by a penny to try to keep our budget manageable. I mean, Steve, do we have a sense, do you have a prediction about what this bill might be for either the city or the developers?
The legal fees associated with it are going to be huge. I mean, they're probably a few $1,000, but I don't think they'd be over $5,000. I don't have any idea what the engineering is.
Yeah, I don't. It usually just depends on what what's submitted and how many reviews it takes, to be honest. I mean, I would hope that this process would be shorter than a brand new development, right? But
with the new parking, you know, we expect it to provide additional revenue to the city. So potentially the parking helps the city make more money, as Kelvin was saying.
If it's possible, I mean, I'm hearing estimates of $5,000-$10,000. I mean, if that's, is that a liability that is concerned? I mean, it seems like kind of a big project. Maybe I'm wrong to move a wall that much, but I mean, is that cost prohibitive for us to spend time on this if it would be potentially put on you guys? Would it be cost for the $5,000-$10,000? I guess I'm sensing from Jim, maybe it wouldn't be cost prohibitive to this scenario, your budget for this project, if the city spends time on it.
I think we're looking at a $50,000 project cost. I mean, we're reusing the wall. It's pretty much just shifting it back, and most of it's just digging in concrete. It's not a lot of other materials other than just concrete and construction costs, digging mostly. So.
Okay, but I'm kind of sensing it's not cost prohibitive for
We were in that 5,000 range, I would say, yeah, we would just, if it starts to get way over that or something, yeah, then we'd have to step back and say, is it worth it if it's not going to go through? Yeah.
I mean, I think that's fair enough. I mean, Steve Ryan, I mean, is that fair if you start to see it blow up for some reason, the budget? For the city fees, maybe we check in about it so it's not a, I know it was on council last time, but I know that was a pretty big tab.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can do that. You know, the issues, as everyone knows, become, the council only meets once a month. And so, you know, we're halfway through, it's 3 weeks from now, and, you know, what do we do? And yeah, I mean, as I said, last year was different in many ways. We didn't just have kind of one item, one consideration, one review. There were several things, and then there were some other things, and that process contributed significantly to the cost involved. So, but I mean, I think the answer to your question is yes, and I really don't think it. I mean, again, from a legal standpoint, it's just there's not that much that's involved. So.
Okay.
And you could contact Nick and I. As you move in between meetings, if something blows up or something.
Just know talking to Steve is expensive. It's expensive asking him to do things is expensive. So, yeah, I appreciate that. Okay.
Thank you. Is there anything else, Steve?
Not on that.
Okay. So we know how we're going to proceed with that. Mm-hmm. So you had other on your legal report?
The only other, I don't know what is on my legal report. I checked in with the Johnson County auditor today. Tomorrow is that drop dead date to make sure that we had the language and the resolutions and all the I's dotted and the T's crossed to have the local option sales and service tax on a special election September 10. And I did confirm with the auditor that Mike had provided everything they needed. And, you know, it's just my nervous nature. I just wanted to make sure that we had that. And so we did get confirmation from the auditor today that we're all good to go. And there will be a special election September 10, and that issue will be on the ballot.
Thank you. Any other questions for Steve? Okay, we have another, the third, thanks very much. We have third consideration of ordinance number 254, establishing the position of city administrator to the city of University Heights. Steph, did you want to report on that or did you want me to?
You know what? You're cutting out a little bit, but if you're wanting me to report on it, it was the council or the committee that was appointed did get together and they considered that this city administration position is something that we've been wanting to do. It's the third reading. I'm not quite sure what you're asking for. We totally recommend approval for the council to move forward with this. And I'm not sure if you're hearing me or not.
Yeah, we can hear you just fine.
Okay.
So why we're breaking out. So we hear you just fine.
Okay. So yes,
he recommends adoption of the third reading.
Yes. Yes.
And also, since I'm part of the committee, we don't want to post it at this time. Correct. We don't want to post it at this time because the chief of IPERS is part of it. There's a waiting period with IPERS. Can't apply, you can't interview. So we'll push that down the road some. And the other thing we want to look at more is the budget.
Correct. Yes.
That I think everything that's
well, very well said.
Okay, thank you. So with that, you want to motion the third consideration of ordinance 254?
Yes, I'll motion.
Okay, motion by Steph. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Doug. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Herbold.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Swales.
Aye.
Gunn.
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. Anything else for Steve Ballard?
Okay. I would just say I would definitely not hold it against you guys if you want to take off. You do not have to sit there.
For
Jeff,
can you just make Troy.
Troy's going to be at the end of the agenda. I'm going to move the community protection down a little at the end of the meeting. Just because.
Well, I want to support Troy.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
okay.
I mean, we're moving right along.
We're moving right along.
But thank you for mentioning that, Nick.
Yeah.
Now that I remember your name. So we'll go down to a city clerk report, which you circulated, Mike. Yep.
I don't have anything to add. We will need a simple motion to renew the Class C liquor license for Maggie's Farm Pizza. They have completed all the steps through the ABD. Chief Kelsey has done the background check. Building Inspector Gert has done the structure. Everything's in compliance, and staff would recommend that we would approve renewal of Maggie's Farm Class C liquor license.
So okay. Moved.
Okay, motion by Nick. Is there a second?
No.
Second.
Second by Tim. All in favor, say aye.
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 Is anyone opposed? Motion carries 5-0. City treasurer report. So John circulated the...
Yes. Only warrants. One addition to the list of warrants.
Oh, okay.
Came in from UN Bank this afternoon. I had a fleet, and it's just $550 of agency fees for bond management. So it's $550.
Okay, it wasn't a scam. It's an actual
bill. It's not.
I mean, so many scams are coming in.
It's not the West Union.
Okay. So we add that to the list. Okay, very good. Is there any objection to paying the bills?
I have a question, John.
Yeah, there's a question
for Ryan. I just noticed tonight that there's an invoice here for the 2024 pavement marking project from LL Pelling.
Yes.
They didn't send me that invoice, so if they sent it directly to you, I guess I haven't reviewed it compared to the quantities that have been completed. So
not very good.
I'd probably want that one removed if we could.
Okay.
Until I could review that. So
yeah, we'll strike it.
If we can.
Oh, yeah.
If that's okay.
So you got that?
Yeah, I'll just dig through here and pull it out.
And okay. I can follow up with Pelling and let them know. But...
Okay, so we're pulling it out. Yeah. Everyone understand that? Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there any objection to paying the bills as with John's addition? Hearing none, it's approved by unanimous consent. Okay, John, do you have anything else? No, okay, thank you. Well, I'm going to go to police protection at the end, and we'll go now to finance, which is consideration of 2430. And Nick, this is just a cleanup for paying the bond, right?
Yeah, and just so people know, this isn't even a transfer of funds between accounts. It's just on paper where we get the money in the right category, basically, right? Count on paper. So.
Thank you, Nick. So resolution 2430 is before the council. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Nick. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Lisa. Discussion. Roll call vote.
Moore?
Aye.
Schroeder?
Aye.
Swales?
Aye.
Don?
Aye.
Herbold?
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. We'll go down to streets and sidewalks. And Ryan, you sent around an engineer report. Did you want to touch base on a few things?
Yeah, I guess I just would on a couple things here. Not a lot to add. Probably the George Street cul-de-sac repairs is anticipated to start next week, just so everyone's aware of that. And I'll probably be knocking on some doors yet this week. And then Monroe Street improvements, we had a change order. To add a couple, some payments for some extra work. So hopefully that was explained well enough in the report, but there's a pay application number 2 was submitted and attached on the warrants list. And that was for $155,789.47, excuse me. Sod went in this week, at the end of last week. So that project is very close to wrapping up, so just good news. The asphalt project, 2024 asphalt project, was completed, and there is a pay application on the warrants list, which is a final. There won't be any, there's no punch list or anything to handle there. So this one includes the release of retainage, and that's for $23,982.50. And so with that one, I have a resolution 2423 to accept the work of the 2024 asphalt project as complete and authorized payment of the retainage.
This one's 2432. You just reversed your
2432.
Numbers. Close. Right. I reversed my numbers on the report.
Yes.
I move for passage of resolution 2432.
Okay, motion by Nick. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Lisa. Discussion, roll call vote.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Swales.
Aye.
Gunn.
Aye.
Herbold.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you.
It's correct on the resolution.
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Anything else, Ryan?
No.
Any questions for Ryan?
Questions.
Thank you for all your work on Monroe Street, since I live on that street. Yeah.
It looks
and
pretty good, right?
Thank you for
right?
the asphalt patching.
Yeah, there you go.
The moped riders are so disappointed their ramp is gone.
Yeah.
I thought we did pretty good for $24,000. So
I thought so too.
It made an impact, I think, to several streets in town. So with the asphalt patching. So, yeah, good work.
Okay, we'll go to building, zoning, sanitation. Anything else, Tim? My LRS guy didn't show up tonight. I don't believe.
No, he did not.
Maybe the Zoom link didn't work. I don't know. But anyway, I will say that he did review the web links that you sent to him, and he said they're all correct, and they have a marketing department, and they're going to come up with a diagram of yes and no recycling instead of all written out. And so he did say that. I'll invite him back again so you can ask any questions. Something happened. I don't know. I talked to him earlier today, but anyway, okay. So thank you, Tim. We'll go on to e-government. And Lisa, you sent around a report and did nice thank yous. Thank you for the thank yous.
Thank
and
you.
The cleanup day. The only thing missing is Troy's not, they had a picture of him sitting in a chair.
In the dumpster.
In the roll-off. And she left that one out. It's the only one you sent me. Yeah, a buggy chair, a mouse-ridden chair.
That's right.
Yeah, Oh my God. But anyway, thanks everyone. That was a big success, like you said, to have it in May instead of April.
Yes,
was excellent.
More stuff than it looks like because Troy is an obsessive packer, yeah. And somebody came and took apparently all the red stuff out of the load.
Yeah. That was great. And also thanks for the reminder of fireworks. Fireworks are not allowed, and July 4th is coming. Thank you.
You can buy them, but
you can't. Oh, I thought you might have
cleaned them. No. But anyway, yeah, thanks. Yeah, Mike, you missed this one.
I know I did.
But yeah. It was great. Yeah,
we had good stuff.
And Tim missed it too this year. But anyway, it was a good turnout. Thank you. So anyway, I want to go to community protection now. Chief, you want to come up and give your final report?
Yes, I'm going to start at the bottom of my report actually and comment on a couple things. In the meetings and events, I'm glad Lisa Clotham included in hers. I failed to mention our participation on the May 18th cleanup days and the May 22nd bike breakfast, which was also a huge success. The weather was perfect. Jeff's breakfasts are fantastic. I wanted to touch on the ATE update. I've had conversations with a gentleman at the Iowa Department of Transportation who first off wanted to make sure that we weren't issuing citations. But we've had back and forth, and I told him we still retained a desire to have ATEs and what our purposes were slowing traffic in our neighborhoods, and that we had the stats to back it up. He said we are not precluded from having ATE fixed cameras, but our size does preclude us from having mobile cameras. So we may proceed under their new rules, which there will be an application process that they're working on now. And he said that there would likely be an application process next year that we would learn about. And the earliest that any permits for new systems would be issued would be effective July of 26. So we're still 2 years out, but the door hasn't necessarily closed. We will need to do traffic studies, I'm sure, again then, or at least I would want to do that to demonstrate that we're a data-driven decision-making body, that we're not doing it willy-nilly. So that's out there. I was also contacted by Mary Panther yesterday, who informed me that Baker Electric, which was under contract with Genoptic, was actually out running electrical power to one of the poles. I checked with Ryan tonight. He was unaware of that. I will check with Genoptic tomorrow. That was not at the city expense, and it will not be at the city expense. But I'm not sure whether that's an oversight on Genoptic for not saying, hey, cease and desist, or whether Genoptic is saying, hey, we want to have this in place, and at this point, we have an investment in it, and this is a minimal expenditure, but we want to be ready to go if they change it. So I'll have more for you next month on that, hopefully.
Troy, is that a 105 closure?
Yes.
Yeah, we got the Mid-American bill for $10 for camera 105 closure.
Okay, then that should not be us. That should be Genoptic. So I will get a hold of them. I'll discuss it with you, but we had no investment in that, no financial investment in that. And then finally, skipping to staffing and related issues. This is my last council meeting as chief of police. I wrote a very, very brief paragraph there, but I want to thank all of you. I want to thank the community for being so supportive. Nick and Louise in particular, Lisa was on that though also, but I'm here largely. It was a tough decision for me to make. It was an opportunity that I wasn't sure I wanted to jump into there, and that was both on my end and frankly on University Heights end and some of the history that I was aware of. But my time has been very, very enjoyable here. I think that I am integrated into this community despite not living here I don't just work here. I feel like I'm part of, we are one big community, more so than any place else that I've ever lived. You all make it very hard for me to step away from this, but with my wife just retiring, it's the right decision, I think, for me and for family. So again, I hope that you all feel the same way that I do, that the police department, which is now passed into Chris's capable hands, but the police department, I cannot give Sergeant Tucker enough credit for what he's done. He was the only officer standing when I came on, and he's been my rock. He gets things done. He anticipates my needs. When I'm not very good about delegating sometime, I want to do it all myself or just make sure it gets done, and he steps up and he gets it done. So you all need to very much appreciate Sergeant Tucker. I can't say enough good things about him, but this is the right decision. I hope you agree with me that the police department and by extension the community is in a much better place. The police department is seen as a professional, desirable agency now. I'm contacted by other small local agencies and other agencies about how did we make that transition? How did we make that change? You know, everybody from North Liberty to Sigourney, Iowa, and across the state has reached out to. So I hope you are as proud of the department as I am. And that's really all I have to say. So thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the trust. And I hope it's been a win-win-win-win.
Stay up here for a little bit. Stephanie, would you want to say something?
I just wanted to say that it's been a privilege to work with Chief Kelsey, and we're going to miss him. I know that he's leaving things in very capable hands with Chief Akers taking over. And I'd just like to say thank you, and I hope you stick around, and we see you around town and out and about as much as we used to.
Thanks, Steph. I'm not going anywhere, and I will certainly be available to help Chris. And I would, like I said, I feel like I'm part of the community and would like to still help as and when I'm able. So thank you.
Yeah, I just would like to add to that too. I think, gosh, you know, when you stepped in, Steve would attest to, Louise would attest to, we had a lot going on. We had a lot of issues. And, you know, what a 180 to go from, you know, seeming like we always had something that we needed to improve on, putting it in your capable hands, and you just, you know, I just think really handled it. And it's been, you know, extremely professional. I think not only, you know, did you do the job well, but you presented yourself in a way that wasn't threatening to people, which I really appreciated. You know, everything from, you know, story times to, you know, seeing people on the street, you know, in a way that wasn't threatening. Yeah, I just can't say enough about, you know, the tone that you set, the leadership you had. So really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Sarah? Well, I want to say a few words. I felt like I aggressively recruited you, even though I was pretending it wasn't aggressive. And I was a little bit tortured that you were being very cautious and careful. I thought you'd immediately just say yes, of course, because who wouldn't want to work here? And, you know, I got a little nervous, but I was so glad when you decided to put your name in and to go through the interview process. And you just brought us to a whole new level. You know what I mean? It's just a dream come true, better than ever. Our department is right there with all the other departments in Johnson County, and even with the state. I know you do things for the state, and they've asked you to be on committees and things, and now you've had to kind of pull away, but it's just been wonderful. And you gave us extra years too, which is so kind of you. And I know you struggled with even another year or two here, but I think you're doing the right thing. And so I was kind of thinking, how can I best say goodbye? And so my favorite thing is to look at the Wizard of Oz. That was a big childhood thing for me, the Wizard of Oz. And I keep relating life to Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz and different things. And I love the part where Dorothy is going to be going back to Kansas, and she has to say goodbye to her friends. And so first of all, she goes to the Tin Man and she says some sweet goodbye to the Tin Man. And then she looks at the lion and she says, you know, I love you, lion. This has been a great thing. And then she looks at the scarecrow and she says, I think I'll miss you most of all. And I have a Dorothy moment now where, Chief, I think I'll miss you most of all. And I'm trying to keep it together, but you know how I give out, before I get there and give you a hug, you know, I have, you know, I give out certificates of appreciation to staff and to council. Well, I made you an extra special one. It says, with our greatest appreciation. And it has our logo and it says, presented to Chief Troy Kelsey, Chief of Police, April 2019 to June 2024, presented on June 11, 2024, and signed by me. And I want to give this to you and give you a big congratulatory hug. So you didn't miss out on this.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I know you have a million little bits.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So, Greg, I felt like you wanted to stay to say, did you want to say something? Well, I felt like you wanted to stay for this.
I wanted to stay just because I respect the guy. I think
okay.
Everything he's ever, I've ever seen him do is amazing. I don't know one single person that has a negative thing about him, and he has so much respect throughout the other.
Oh yeah,
money. I know some of his friends.
I know.
And they think the world of him, even when they're retired. And I mean, it's fun to see someone so well liked. It's a blessing to have someone like him in your life. You say, hey, I want to surround myself with good people. He's good people. You know, it's just how I feel.
Thank you. And I just want to add that Steph and Lisa and I have been talking about a party, and you finally kind of agreed on one, a welcome party for our new police chief and a thank you party for Chief Kelsey. And we haven't gotten a date yet, but we're thinking sometime in July. We thought we had a date and then one of the guests of honor couldn't be there. So we'll let everybody know when we have something. We're gonna have it up here, you know, on just the right day. And I really appreciate you wanting to finally agree to come to that.
Yes.
I think it's going to be a nice event.
Yeah. Well, you have, I promise you've not seen the last of me. I promise that.
Okay, good. Thank you all so right. much.
Thank you
yeah.
all.
Is there any announcements, any objection to adjournment? Hearing none, the meeting is adjourned by unanimous consent. Thanks, everyone. Thank you.